This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Well, we've moved on and we are engaging new politicians and a new time and a new space in the South African calendar that is being described as all important. Funzi Ngubeni is my guest, and of course, Funzi Ngubeni is Action SA's premier candidate here in Gauteng. And of course, we said we will bring you the political parties here on Power Perspective, but we will also bring you the premier candidates for Gauteng. So we will try to bring you every single one of the premier candidates that is fighting and vying for the position of premier in this position. Of course, there are other political parties who have put through some individuals. Panyaza Lesufi is the ANC's candidate. The DA has Solly Msimanga and the EFF, Mbuyiseni and Ndlozi. And I'm still not sure about that. You know, I mean, you know, I haven't seen proper, you know, documentation confirming that. I think always they play with suggestions in that particular space. But of course, Mbuyiseni and Ndlozi, we will then take as the premier candidate here. You heard Julius Malema talk about that. And then there's Rise Mzansi Vuyiswa, and she was also here on Power 98.7 on Power Perspective. But yes, Funzi has his own plans. And he is, like I said, Action SA's candidate, and he has outlined some of those plans to revitalize. And doesn't Gauteng need revitalizing? He's talking about the local economy, but he's also talking of various other things. He wants an audit of unused industrial spaces, the buildings that government owns here in Gauteng. And also, he wants to then obviously also just do away with, well, not entirely, but dismantle Amapanyaza and deal with them differently as that particular space is. And he then also speaks to a lot of other things. He wants to redress. He wants to talk about the structure of the city, shifting in ownership profiles. That's an important aspect here in Johannesburg. And of course, making Johannesburg and Gauteng environmental friendly. Let's ask Funzi Ngubeni. Funzi, welcome to Power 98.7. Welcome to Power Perspective. How are you?
Hey, brothers, I'm good and myself.
I'm really, really good, man. I'm really, really good. And it's a pleasure to have you here, bro.
It's a pleasure to me to be on your show. And greetings to the listener.
Absolutely. Funzi, let me ask you a question. And I want to also just delve into who you are also. Director of Operations. Third candidate, Action SA. You walked in number three. There was Herman who was number one. I'm not sure who was number two, but Herman says you were person number three into Action SA when everything started happening. But Director of Operations, and I want to start there for a reason, responsible for setting up structures across the country. In 2021, you fought in, I think, six municipalities out of all of them, so six of the 278 municipalities. That was the contested result. And then suddenly Action SA is on the scoreboard and people are watching the scoreboard and the scoreboard's going 10%. Here in Gauteng, here in Johannesburg, 11, 12, 13, 15, 18%. And Director of Operations, who was Funzi Ngubeni down, must have been going, look at me. Look at what I've done. But then they did it again, Funzi. July 14, 2023, there is a notice that you step back from the Johannesburg caucus to focus on the 2024 elections. You are the provincial chair. You resign as caucus leader. You resign as councillor. And you resign as of the 31st of July. And as of that particular time, your mandate is to set up structures and campaigning and take, of course, Action SA into the broader country, you know, that we now understand Action SA to be everywhere. I suppose when you look back, Funzi, you have to look back and say, you know, job well done. Even if you might not say it, you know, other people in the party might say it and other people who associate with Action SA from the humble beginnings of what I just illustrated and your role in it, It's been an achievement, I have to say.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Brodenzel. I think I'm very humbled by what we have achieved, and I must be quick to say that it was not a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with a team of really committed South Africans, you know, and people that really wanted to see this this vehicle called Action SA growing to becoming what it is today. And we really worked very hard. I mean, you are correct that as a national director of operation, I mean, that time it was COVID, you know, when we really had to start with our campaign, and we had to come up with creative ways of how to reach the voters, and we started really getting into social media and using all forms of social media, from your WhatsApp, your Zoom, you know, and it really worked, and we managed to reach many South Africans, and here we are, and I think I'm really humbled and grateful for the opportunity that has been given to me to work side by side with really men and women of integrity and people that really want South Africa and South Africans to prosper. So I'm quite happy, and thank you very much for those acknowledgements.
Sure. So your resignation letter, the one dated the 2nd of March 2020, 2nd of March 2020, says you are leaving to build a new political alternative. Do you believe that what Action SA has become is that new political alternative? When I mean, you're on the inside, you understand the nuts and bolts, and you've been key to building it. Is this the new political alternative that you had envisioned then, and what you've ultimately going to produce now ahead of this 2024 election? Is that what you wrote then, and you have seen it materializing? Because that's what you wrote. You said, I'm heading out to build a new political alternative, and that new political alternative is Action SA.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I want to believe that we are that alternative, Denzel. I think we have really grown by leaps and bounds. We started as a party that contested only 6 municipalities, and now we are contesting 9 provinces in the country, and we are putting forward a presidential candidate in the form of Mr. Herman Mashaba. And we've got structures, you know, in all parts of South Africa. You know, here in Gauteng, previously when we were really strong in Johannesburg, Tshwane, and Ekurhuleni, we are now found in the areas like Randwest, in Rafong. You know, we've got structures that are quite active in places like Fochville, in you know, close to the end of the province. We've got structures in Mfuleni, in the Sedi municipality. You know, we are here in Mohali City, in Randfontein. You find us. You know, so we are a party that has now gone into a policy conference. We've got you know, a suite of policies that are speaking directly to what the voters are asking us to do. And we have now launched our manifesto. We are contesting these elections. We have met all the requirements that the IEC put forward to all parties. And we've got, you know, candidates that are, you know, made up of men and women who possesses a lot of skills, whether it's in the private, comes from the private sector, or those that have been in politics before. We are that party, you know. We are on the ground on a daily basis, talking to voters. And, you know, I've seen a number of polls, you know, obviously putting us at a very unfavorable position in terms of their numbers. But we are not concerned that much. You know, we think that the work that we do on the ground will speak more, you know, than those polls. So we are quite happy with what we have achieved so far, and we are a solid alternative. You know, sometimes tend to sit back and say, yo, we are really punching beyond our weight, but you know, and our opponents in most cases, when they are shivering when they think about us, but we remain humble, and we remain hopeful as well that South Africans will themselves see us as an alternative, as an option, because that's what they've been asking for, you know.
Funzi, I'm going to ask you a personal question, Funzi, because I there's an understanding that I want to get from you. Is if I look and I'm going to take you back to Kagiso Comprehensive School in Bloemfontein, and there you were as a youngster, and then out of that, of course, you're in the Mangaung Townships, and then there's COSAS, the Congress of the South African Students, ANC aligned. Fikile Mbalula is in the mix at that particular time because he's also from the Free State. And then you become deputy president of the SRC there also within the spaces of that. But at those particular times, I think, you know, whether you liked it or not, somehow we were all members of some organization that was aligned to, you know, the liberation movements of our time. So too were you. And eventually, that's not the path that you walk. What is it, the defining factor that determines that that's not where you're going to end up, Funzi? I'm trying to understand, you know, because in every aspect, if I had given somebody else's historical context like that, they probably would be in the ANC today and be a minister and or somewhere, someplace. You deviated from that particular path. What was it that deviated you in essence?
Yeah, you know, Denzel, I think the moment I stepped back from politics and I became a normal member of the society, watching from my couch and you know, seeing South Africa, you know, taking a wrong turn. It was when I was still in the private sector and working in the travel and tourism industry. And I had an opportunity to really travel the world, and went to, you know, to places in Africa, and you know, I also, you know, got to travel to Asia, you know, visited Hong Kong and Singapore, China, and
because you were also in the aviation industry.
I was also in the aviation industry, yes, you know. So I, you know, sitting on the couch and one day, obviously, watching, you know, the events in Polokwane, you know, and you know, the ANC decides to obviously vote for Jacob Zuma at that time. And then this is an individual already who was facing charges, you know, as serious as rape. And the ANC took a decision to elect him as a president, and for me that was the turning point for me to say, okay, I've been an activist before of this organization. I then stopped my activism, but I was still voting for this organization and wishing that they, you know, they deliver on the better, you know, South Africa for all. And now they are taking a turn of really showing us that they are not really what we thought they are. And that's when I decided that let me get back to politics, you know. And from then, you know, it was on the opposition to the ANC. And even today, we're still working very hard to ensure that we remove them. From power. Yeah.
Sure. So let's just deal with Gauteng then a little bit. You've got Solly Msimanga, somebody who you would know from that particular space, Panyaza Lesufi, ANC candidate. You've got Vuyiswa Ramakgopa, Rise Mzansi. You've got Mboiseni Ndlozi from the EFF. You've got Kenny Kunene, also from the Patriotic Alliance, and all vying for this premier position. It's crowded, and sometimes crowded means that, you know, maybe not in a good way, but it's crowded in a sense where people have really, really, this time around, and maybe it's because the competition that's out there, you know, it's going to be stiff competition. When you look at the list of people who are in the grouping for premier candidacy, are you happy that ultimately maybe there's a conversation to be made that there are stronger candidates now, and it's not maybe just, you know, other people who are thrown into the system just because, you know, they were politicians in essence? Or, you know, is it something that, you know, there's a realization that it's tough competition when you do look at Gauteng?
Yeah, look, I think it's a list of formidable, you know, contestants, and I think it's actually good for the voter. It's good for South Africans that they have a choice and they have options, you know, to choose from. And I think this is the maturity of our democracy, and we must welcome it, you know, and navigate through it, you know. And obviously, South Africans are quite, you know, clear on their positions these days. I think they know what they are looking for, and they will give the votes to those that you know, speaks their language and speaks to their, you know, aspirations. And I think also they will look at the background of all of us and do proper research like you've done, and be able to make the right decision.
Yeah, the only thing I haven't done, Funzi, is actually to go to Kagiso Comprehensive School. But hey, that might come. That might come.
Yeah. No, that's my alma mater is still there. I was looking at their, you know, metric results, and they are still doing very well. In fact, I think most of the township schools in the Free State are really doing well. I think they've got a very nice template there that they are following, you know, with the former MEC, you know, who passed away, who actually left some good legacy there. So I think there's some good work happening. So, yeah. You must visit Kagiso.
Next time I'm around, I will. Funzi, let me ask you this. I mean, the dynamics are different, though, right? I mean, it's no longer a question of when the ANC puts a candidate forward, you know, you kind of know that, you know, that's the candidate who is going to ultimately be the premier now of a particular province. This whole coalition aspect has changed things around, because if Gauteng, for example, were under 50 and you know, coalition and talks were beginning to happen, any single one of these individuals, depending on how the debate goes and how the horse trading and conversations happen, any of these particular people, including yourself, could suddenly be premier, you know, in a coalition space. So yeah. The dynamics are really different this time around.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, ANC got just over 50% in the last election in 2019. And
yeah, 50.19.
Exactly. You know, and if you look at the, you know, I think a lot of us tend to say we can't compare local government with national, and that is correct because the dynamics are different, and the turnout seems to be quite high when it comes to national elections. But if you look at the 2021 elections, the ANC got close to about 37%. You know, so it's going to be quite interesting. We're definitely going to have a coalition, and Action SA, although we are contesting to win outright, like all political parties will be doing the same. But in the event that we voters want us to be in a coalition, I think we have already, you know, put our stance, you know, out there, and voters know where we stand when it comes to coalition, and we will definitely, you know, work with those that we have chosen to work with, including those that are not in the pact that will probably, you know, be open to engaging with us after the election.
Sure. Funzi, early in the conversation, still I have so much ground to cover, but let's go to a voice note that's come through for you. Let's just listen to that.
Hi, Tenza. Comes from what? The open line. Good evening, Denzel. Yeah, Arnold here in Mabopane. Yeah, Denzel, thanks, man, for hosting my provincial chairperson, as well as our premier candidate for Action SA in Gauteng. I've worked with Brafunzi. I call him Brafunzi. He calls me Arnold. You know, from day one, since the People's Dialogue. Yes, and he was the director of operations. You know, I cherish the day when he came to my place together with President Hemed Mashaba and our national spokesperson, Lerato Ngobeni. You know, they came here, the president wanted to come and give me a hearing on the suggestion that I had to say we need to have a disability forum during the days of the People's Dialogue, you know. And today the structure still stands. You know, I remember he was there in 2020 when I was elected in St. Shuron as the national chairperson for the Disability Forum. What a humble man. What a humble man that you are hosting there. And I just wanted to say to Brafunzi that we will remain on the ground. We will ensure that we are taking him to legislature, but not only as an MPL or as an MEC, but as the Premier of Gauteng. Thank you, Brafunzi, for what you are doing to this party, to this organization, and we thank God for giving us you, and please remain as humble as you are. And all the best. We will ensure that we make you the number one citizen of Gauteng. Thank you.
Sure. And then Funzi, Arnold is somebody I actually know. I've been to his house and I've actually engaged in Arnold as well. And I do know also that he's disabled for people who don't know, and he's blind actually. And so he speaks from that particular component. Let's take Kenny in Pretoria quickly. Kenny in Pretoria, Kenny?
Hey, good evening, Denzel, and good evening to Leader Funzi. Good evening, my leader.
He can hear you, Chief. Kenny, he can hear you. Yeah, he can hear you, Kenny. Carry on.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Denzel. No, I just wanted to check, Funzi, Kenny here, Pretoria East Action SA. I just wanted to check, you are one of the most humble people I've ever worked with. Keep it up, my leader. But I'm just surprised that you seem to be downplaying our power in Johannesburg, especially because we overtook, you know, the EFF as the third biggest party in that municipality. Thank you. Keep it up, my leader.
That's Kenny in Pretoria. Funzi, and then I'll just read you something also. John Moodley, when you left, DA, John Moody said he worked closely with Funzi, honorable individual. He said, committed to hard work and serving the people. You don't always get that when you're leaving a particular party, you know, that people slap you on the back and give you that kind of credit as well. But it must say something then about the kind of leadership that you are engaging with within the party, and speaks volumes about maybe yourself, you know, as a person.
Yeah, no, thank you, and thank you to Arnold and Kenny, and really, I mean that comment from John Moody when I was leaving. Yeah, I remember that. It's, look, I mean, we work with these people. I think I've been working with people all my life, and whether they were my clients or whether they. My colleagues and I've always taken a posture to respect everyone, you know, that surrounds me, and to treat them with the respect that they deserve, and I think in most cases that gets to be returned to me as well, you know, and I think that's how I've grown. I'm learning every day from people that I work with. It's also, you know, it's something that I really change every time, you know. And I always want to surround myself with people that work hard, that are honest and with integrity. And I've been very lucky that throughout I've really worked, I've been able to get to work with those type of people. Of course, we get disappointed from time to time with individuals there and there, and people get disappointed with us, from time to time. But it's important that we do not hold grudges, and we continue to live and side by side, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to coexist, and we should always endeavor to do so.
Let's get to Gauteng, Funzi. Let's just look at the issues in Gauteng deteriorating, lots of service deteriorating. There's basic services that people will talk about sanitation and water, that becoming an issue of late, electricity issues countrywide, but also here in Gauteng. You've got the high unemployment, in Johannesburg and Gauteng in general. You've got crime here in Gauteng, but you've got violent crime here in Gauteng, not just crime. You've got crumbling infrastructure. You've got, when I talk about crumbling infrastructure, you just need to look at the inner city of Johannesburg and look at some of the, the landmark buildings that we once had that are just, not in the state that they need to be. Lots of particular issues that you then need to really, really get to. And I'm not even sure where to begin with all of them. But let's start with security, in essence, because I think that's a big problem for a lot of people. So when I want to engage the security one, you're very firm on a particular aspect of Amapanyaza and the element of hiring 6,000 to 8,000 individuals, putting them on the street, and then suggesting that, that is going to be the solution, maybe. And not the final solution to the crime aspect, but a solution to the crime aspect. Let me ask you this. In anybody's language, when somebody says crime is an issue, and the other person says to you, okay, let me do something about it. Let me put 8,000 people on the street that's going to help those people who deal with security to begin to look at that crime, situation. Somebody would generally say, brilliant, I like that. But you want to dismantle and you want to engage differently. What's the reasoning there?
Yeah, no, and we have been quite clear from the beginning when the structure was established that processes were not properly followed. In fact, even at a time when they were still training, at some places in Pretoria, we kept on getting complaints from aspirant Amapanyazas and highlighting the inhuman conditions that they were. So we really do not oppose initiatives to fight crime and to augment the law enforcement agencies that we have in Gauteng. What we were opposing and what we continue to oppose is the legality of it and how it was done, and we appreciate and we understand that it was election year and people wanted to cut corners so that they can be able to claim that they really care and wanted to do something, But the point that we're making and that we continue to make is that it's fine. You are an incumbent. You've got the responsibility to run this government up until you are elected out, and you have all the right to introduce projects, from time to time, whether it's Amapanyaza or Nasispani, but do it legally, and follow the right processes. So Amapanyaza, it was only approved in December last year after the intervention of Minister of Correctional Services. And even then, we still said, take them out of the street, take them for full training, and bring them back, so that they can be able to help SAPS and help all the metro police in the metros in Gauteng to fight crime.
In essence, they were legitimized with correctional services, because that gave them the certification almost.
Absolutely. Mm. It was like that. 8 months after they were established, And for us, it is really irresponsible and incorrect way of using state resources. You know, so we also think that and talking to the dismantlement of the structure, we are saying we dismantle it, we take them back to training, and then we assign them to various municipalities across the province. We think they will be more effective working with Metro Police on the ground and working with all those local patrollers in all our communities. And we think that they will be more impactful in that way. And because at the end of the day, the province doesn't have the power, you know, to really do policing. You know, that power remains with South African Police Services at national level, and ours is to do an oversight on all your law enforcement agencies. So I think that's what really the crux of the issue for us. We really appreciate that crime in our province is a huge problem. I mean, all kinds of crime that you find, you know, in the country. Yeah, in Gauteng, it's mostly like.
How would you deal with it, Funzi? How otherwise would you deal with it? You know, there's the system that Panyaza Lesufi, the premier, decided to engage with it. How would you engage it as Action SA?
Look, what we are saying is that we need to adopt a integrated policing model, and what we mean is that. We need to definitely continue working with South African Police Services. We're still going to advocate for the devolution of powers of the SAPS to the provinces. And also, you know, some of the powers need to be given to the Metro Police that they currently do not have. For example, I mean, the Metro Police has to go into a scrap metal shop, you know, and while identifying, you know, city infrastructure or public infrastructure that has been vandalized and sold to that scrap metal shop, they can't do anything. You know, they have to ensure that they've got SAPS with them when they do this raid. So we think that that those powers need to be devolved to Metro Police so that they can be able to assist there. But we have to work with the private sector security firms. I mean, the reality is that most of our communities in Gauteng rely on them to keep them safe and their families. We need to have a proper, you know, coordinated, you know, fight on crime, working together with security firms. We need to continue to work with community organizations like your patrollers and also your CPF. But most importantly, we are also saying let's start looking at smart policy. Let's see at how we can be able to ensure that the ground police gets to work, you know, smart and be able to arrest crime before they happen. You know, we obviously need to increase the number of police on the ground. So our view is that we need to hire more police and deploy them in areas. So, I mean, we want to work with SAPS in ensuring that happens, you know. And we want to advocate continuously that the Metro Police must have all kinds of units that will assist them, whether it's your land invasion unit, whether it's your drugs combating unit. You know, we need them in all the municipalities across. I think one of the things that we have neglected in the province is the local municipalities that do not have Metro Police, you know, where they only rely on South African police services. I think if you look at a place like Rakanda in, let's say, Denzel, I mean, the criminality there is on another level. I mean, people are being killed left and right in that area, and the South African police services are helpless and all that. I mean, you look at the Zama Zamas that are terrorizing people in areas like here in the Western End. I mean, those things need to be combated. So for us, we need a coordinated approach. We need to ensure that the province have all the powers that it requires, but we need municipalities. We need the municipalities, sure, police to be the one that are doing most of the work on the ground.
Funzi, I'm going to take Cello in Joburg North. Cello?
Good evening. Good evening, Denzel, and good evening to the incoming Premier of Gauteng.
Right. Okay.
So My question to the incoming premier, as if you look at the socioeconomic challenges of Gauteng, unemployment is one of the pressing one.
It's high unemployment.
High unemployment, particularly young people.
Yeah, the youth.
As I should say, and obviously the economy of Gauteng. So how would HNSA turn things around? How do you, as a premier of Gauteng, turn the economy around, knowing that obviously the result of the flourishing economy, it will be increasing employment. So how do you do that?
Selo, good question, Selo, because I also was going to go there, Funzi. And just to give some context also to Funzi, to Selo's question, 15 to 16 million people in Gauteng. You've got 40% of the country's GDP generated here in Gauteng. You've got an instance where you've got to generate revenue and you've got to supply services. In essence, then you've got a youth population also that's hugely unemployed. And I don't know what the figure for unemployment in Gauteng is, but from the 15 to 16 million people, I think in my head, in the back of my head, I've got around 4 million people might be unemployed. How would you deal with the employment situation in Gauteng, Funzi?
And Denzel, to be honest, I mean, if you look, your initial question was on the crime, combating crime. But the truth is that if we do not address unemployment and we do not address poverty, there's no way we're going to succeed in fighting crime. So they are quite related. We need to make sure that we create an environment that where people are able to work and not idle at home and eventually ending up being criminals. You know, so we have a big job in front of us. As Gauteng, we have to contribute to the 4.8 million jobs that our party has indicated that we want to create by 2029. And most of it will have to come from Gauteng. You know, so what are we going to be doing? For us, we need to, anchor all our plans around infrastructure development. You know, we believe that we need to ensure that we have roads that are working. We have infrastructure like your water and sanitation that is working. We believe that obviously your energy, you know, electricity. Infrastructure needs to be developed, and you know that will assist us in ensuring that the environment is conducive to ensure that and that will bring investors into the province. You know, because we need these investors to come and establish manufacturing plants here, so that they can be able to absorb most of our unskilled labor, because the unemployed in Gauteng, majority of them are unskilled, and many of them have lost jobs because of retrenchment. All of the factories that are around Gauteng closing down, and businesses suffering because of load shedding. So we need a mass manufacturing industry in Gauteng that will absorb not only young people but also those that are over 35 that are now sitting at home without doing anything. So we are looking at growing the economy by 5% by 2029, and that will ensure that we are able to create jobs. But most importantly, we want to ensure that we invest the resources of government in high potential job creation industries, Denzel. I mean, we are talking about the green energy now. You know, mining in the outskirts of Gauteng is still viable. It can still be done. We need to support those industries. Agriculture, even here in Gauteng, we have to make sure that those are being supported. So we really want to make sure that those industries are the ones that come and absorb most of the unemployed. But we are also saying, I mean, in the midst of all this, we have young people that are going to be leaving schools. Some of them will drop out before they get to matric. Some of them will not be able to go into the economy after completing their studies at school. So how do we then deal with it? Yeah, for us is that let's also make it available for them, the national voluntary service, as government, where we can be able to absorb them into into the SOEs, we absorb them into the army, into the police, and so forth. So they can be able to then get some experience from those activities and be able to go into the market and ensure that they get jobs. You know, so those are some of the things that we are going to be putting together. But as Gauteng, for us, we really want to ensure that we turn Gauteng into a construction site, that we work with municipalities to rejuvenate the inner cities, you know, take back all these buildings that have been abandoned, convert them into student accommodation, some of them give them to SMMEs to operate from them, and in that way to start creating work, because SMMEs are going to be critical in the task that is ahead of us of creating millions and millions of jobs.
Sure. Funzi, redress is an important composition in all political parties, manifestos, and historical context talks to redress, of course, and that is first and foremost, I think, with a lot of political parties who understand our historical context. And so when you're dealing with the redress and you look at a province like Gauteng, and you look at the structure of the city, and you look at, you know, the engagement, and you look at the spatial issues, that much hasn't changed. And maybe if you look at other provinces, you know, the Western Cape maybe is something to define with. In other provinces, you know, things are beginning to move and shake a little bit, but we're still sitting with a lot of, you know, structural issues, developmental issues that come from the past. And with that, then, you know, that important thing of shifting of ownership and profiles and movement. Let me just throw in environmental friendliness of a city as well. And then I've got a question from Virginia, who then I sort of think piggybacks on what I'm just dealing with. How will he ensure that we do not have places like Oranje in Gauteng? And that's Virginia on WhatsApp. The redress is important, but how do you engage in this bigger, broader conversation, Funzi, about, you know, just getting Gauteng integrated, and that we don't plod along with the sort of apartheid, you know, boundaries and lines that were given to us in the past, be it property lines, be it economic spaces, be it anything else. That always for me seems to be one of the bigger, broader issues about Gauteng, Johannesburg per se, that we don't talk about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we are quite clear that we need to, when you are growing the economy and you are building all this infrastructure, you need to then bring in spatial planning into it, because it's true that the majority of our people are still being subjected to, development like your mega cities that are being built in the periphery of the cities. I mean, people are still being, developments are still happening in areas like Orange Farm. Mm. I mean, if you go to areas like Randfontein, you find this big mega project being built very far from opportunities. In Randfontein, for example. So we want to do away with that. We want to, as we develop the infrastructure, that we develop, human settlements close to those roads, close to those logistics businesses that we want to ensure that they come into the city. But we can only do that if we have a clear, coordinated, working relationship with municipalities, because you remember that the municipalities are the one that has the constitutional right to deal with land and to deal with how we develop in the city. So we must be able to through the COPTA department that is now at the provincial level, be able to have a memorandum of understanding with municipalities. To say, look, when you are doing your IDP, because by the way, that's a constitutional responsibility of the COCTA department to guide municipalities on their IDP. So it must not be a silo mentality in Gauteng. We need to work together as municipalities so we can be able to see these IDPs eventually, talking to the same thing of eradicating the inequalities of spatial planning that we currently have. So it is quite big for us that we're going to be doing so with COGTA department. But talking further about economic empowerment, Denzel, you will have noted that in our manifesto we were quite clear about the opportunity fund that we going to establish, and that opportunity fund is going to assist us even here in Gauteng to build more facilities like your hospitals, schools, you know, that are top class, and not just schools that still, tells us that this one is in the township. We want to make sure that the infrastructure that is in our schools are the same as what you will get in the suburbs. So we are going to use this opportunity fund to be able to generate income that will assist us to build more infrastructure in communities. Other thing that we have also launched through our manifesto was the universal basic income grant, that will assist us as well to ensure that, we turn around the situation that we have been having in regards to unemployment and in regards to our not being able to be part of the economy, because we need, everyone to be part of the economy, whether they are also unemployed. But they can't do so with just 350 that they are getting each and every month. We need more for them so that they can participate in the economy.
Funsi, I used the word deteriorating earlier on when I was talking about sanitation and water, basic services, high unemployment, and all of those particular aspects. But I used deteriorating deliberately as well, because a lot of people in Gauteng talk to that particular word. They might have had, but it's been deteriorating. And so now we're talking about revisiting and refixing and all sorts of things and getting them, back up to where they might have been and then better. You talk about COGTA, and then I can't but think that under COGTA you've got the municipalities, and with municipalities you raised it, constitutional obligation, whether it's COGTA to municipalities or municipalities that have a constitutional obligation to the people that reside in those municipalities. And for the first time in recent years, we are beginning to talk about, municipalities in Gauteng that are in trouble. We never really did before. We spoke of, various other municipalities that might have been in other provinces. But suddenly, there are municipalities that have suddenly beginning to need the assistance and the intervention, and people are beginning to talk about, Gauteng as that particular place now where municipalities need intervention. The word again, deteriorating again over time. Emfuleni. I don't even want to talk about Emfuleni and what's going on in Emfuleni. But if you have that comparative, then how do you begin, Funzi, to stop what ultimately looks like a progressive decline, progressive deterioration in municipalities where there once was no deterioration or intervention needed at all, but suddenly, through COGTA and national government, we're beginning to talk about those things. How do you even then begin? Leave the city of Johannesburg alone, but here's the big picture for you. And when you talk about municipalities, it just seems as though they're on the slide.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Denzel, a point to raise, and maybe as an example, is the water situation in all these municipalities. And if you look at the root cause of some of the issues that we are having, is the infrastructure that has deteriorated, and the fact that municipalities are buying water and they are unable to collect even half of the money that they have spent on buying that water. And actually, most of the water gets to be lost because of leaks and everything. So it's a huge problem that we need to address with municipalities, and precisely because the repeat levels of urbanization in Gauteng is getting worse and worse. The people are coming into the cities. And
if you make that point, rapid urbanization, Funzi, of what's going on in Gauteng, does it just mean then that because of that rapid urbanization, you know, one then naturally assumes that, you know, more people in a contained space, deterioration is going to be a natural result of all of that?
It's not really so. I mean, we know municipalities, we know cities in the world that they are able to still get more people in, and but they're still managing to run their affairs. I mean, the rule of law is one issue that we need to make sure that we bring back into our cities. You know, but most importantly, we need to get this infrastructure to be developed, but also to be maintained. You know, so that they do not deteriorate, and we don't wait for them to deteriorate to start building new ones. You know, so but cities will tell you, Denzel, that they are not getting enough money. They are not collecting enough from their residents, but they are not also not getting enough in terms of grants from national and provincial government. So us as Action SA, we are saying we need to sit down with municipalities once we get into power and start looking at alternative funding for infrastructure development in various municipalities across. You know, we need to make sure that we build capacity within those municipalities. If there is no capacity as a province, as COPTA, it's our responsibility to then look for that for those expertise that can be able to assist them to resolve some of their you know, core issues like you know, billing systems, you know, ensuring that, you know, they have IDPs that speaks to what we have to achieve as a province. You know, those type of expertise might not reside in certain municipalities, but it is ours as a province that needs to do so. So I think a provincial government that will be led by us will definitely ensure that COPTA do its work and do its work without looking at the politics of municipalities, because we do not have to put Tshwane under administration because it's run by a certain political party, and we end up doing it incorrectly, not following the right procedures, and then we fail to do the same in Emfuleni, which is the worst municipality in the country. But even today, province has not even, you know, tried to sort of take it under its wing or even dissolve, you know, because for us, that municipality should have been dissolved long ago, and a new election should have taken place there. But what I'm saying is that as COPTA, you know, we need to be able to use the powers that are bestowed on us by the Constitution to assist municipalities to resolve their chronic issues and to ensure that they are on the road to be able to serve their communities. That can be done, and I believe that us, when we get into the government, we'll be able to turn those things around.
Funzi Ngumeni, I want to say thank you so much for joining me here on Power Perspective. Thank you so much for joining me here on Power 98.7. I'm going to say good luck, sir. And of course, we're going to be watching that space as we naturally do. You are the premier candidate for Action SA, and I'm going to wish you well. And I'm going to say, you know what? May the best person here in Gauteng win. May everybody's, you know, prospects be what they think they are, and good luck.
Thank you very much, Denzel. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to speak to the listeners of Power FM, and thank you to all those that have called and asked questions. And we're looking forward to the 29th of May. Let's make sure that we use this democracy and use it wisely, because it was not for free.
Funzi, what did you do after Bloemfontein Celtic?
Waiting for it to come back.
See we lele, yeah. Funzi Ngubeni, of course, premier candidate here, Action SA, for Action SA, talking to him there over the last hour, in essence, and taking your questions as well. Also, remember, also, he was the MMC for finance. He was the MMC for transport. He was the MMC for developmental planning. And, of course, yeah, also waiting for Bloemfontein Celtic to come back. Yeah. Ah, that is, of course, Funzi Den Ngubeni. May the best person here in Gauteng absolutely win. May the people of Gauteng get the best person ultimately.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.